Today's Shir is Masechta Shavuos Daf Chav Tes. We will begin on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph at the Mishnah towards the bottom, towards the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Ezu Shavuos Shav. What is the definition of a Shavuos Shav that we learned on Daf Chav Zayin, that if somebody violates such a Shavuos B'mezid, he gets Malkus, and B'shogik he's Potter. Nishbul Shanas Seidul Adam. If somebody made a Shavuos to reverse something which is obviously not true. The Mishnah illustrates. Omar al omid shel evin shu shel zov. If somebody said about a stone being that it's made out of gold, al ish shu isha, who said regarding a man that she is a woman, or vice versa, al ish shu ish, all of these are examples of a shu shav. Furthermore, nishbal davar shef shaloi. If somebody makes a shvua that's impossible to fulfill, somebody says, all the peiros in the world, all the fruit in the world should be offered to me, if I did not see a camel flying in the air, or he made a shvua that all the fruit in the world should be offered to him, if I didn't see gomel shepurech ba'aver, if I didn't see I saw a snake that's thick like a beam. Again, this is a shvua that is patently impassable, and therefore it's not considered a valid shvua. Continues the Mishnah. Amal of Eidim Bovei Duni. Now the Mishnah goes on to discuss what we will learn is called a shvua, another example of shvua shav. He told two people to come say Eidus on my behalf. And the Eidim respond is that we won't come. And this is what we know is a shul of Atlas and Mitzvah, because the obligation is to fulfill the Mitzvah. And every shul of Atlas and Mitzvah turns out to be a shul shav, because we are obligated to fulfill the Mitzvah. And if we're obligated to fulfill the mitzvah, when you make a shvua that you won't fulfill the mitzvah, Rashi says, you're making a shvua that's impossible to fulfill. The Rambam seems to learn that shvua shav is when he is levatel sa mitzvah. And another example of shvua shav is when he makes a shvua on David that he can't make, or something he can't do. So if this person says a shvua shlon diyacha, makes a shvua, I won't say it, or nishbal vatal sa mitzvah, or somebody makes a shvua to violate a mitzvah, for example, he makes a shvua shloi las a sukkah, not to make a sukkah, shloi lita lulav, not to take the dalaminim, shloi laniach tefillin, he makes a shvua not to put on tefillin, even since all these shvuas are shvuas that one can't fulfill, so therefore, they're not considered valid shvuos. Our Gemara just taught us the halacha of shvua levatel sa mitzvah. The Yerushalmi says that in certain situations, a shvua to disregard a mitzvah does take effect. He gives an example. One swears not to eat matzah for the entire year. So since the entire year, he's saying the entire year, including Pesach, since the entire year, There's no mitzvah to eat matzah. So this becomes what we've discussed many times, a koil, that since the shvuah is chal for all the days of the year besides Pesach, so the halacha is that it'll be effective for Pesach as well. And what one should do in such a situation is he should have the shvuah annulled. Tosfos quotes the Ri, who differentiates between making a shvua and koilu not to do a mitzvah and swearing to do an aveira. The Ri says that if one makes a shvua to eat all the meat in a tray, and on that tray there are both kosher and non-kosher meat, we don't apply the rule of koilu and to say that he has to eat everything from the tray, even the non-kosher meat. To that effect, we don't say koilu. And explains the Ramban, wherever there is a conflict between the shvua and the mitzvah, so we take the rule of sheva taisa, don't do anything. So if somebody makes a shvua that he's not going to do mitzvah saseh. So, for example, not to eat matzah all year. He can't eat matzah even on Pesach, not to violate his shvuah. But if somebody makes a shvuah which involves direct violation of an iser, example that we just gave, he said he's going to eat all the meat on the tray, which includes non-kosher meat. So he has to not eat the non-kosher meat in order not to directly or expressly violate the iser of eating non-kosher. Now the question is, what's going to be an halacha by isurim of the rabbanon? The Rosh writes that if somebody swears to violate an iser rabbanon, he's going to drink something which is only eat or drink something which is only osam b'drabbanon. He has to follow his shvuah and drink what's osam b'drabbanon. Says the Rosh, the iser of violating his shvuah is an iser d'raisa, and therefore it takes precedence over the iser d'rabbanon. The Ritva disagrees, and he says that even though, of course, an iser d'raisa is always stronger than iser d'rabbanon, the Rabbanon have a right to make a halacha if they feel it's necessary. Says the Ritva that when we say that the Rabbanon made a halacha the Rabbanon, it includes that if it will involve being over a shua. And again, part of the reasoning behind the Ritva's thinking is that the Ritva's thinking is very much connected to man-made isurim. And as we've learned many times in our shiurim, there are limitations to man-made isurim. And this would be an example where there is a limitation to man-made isurim. The Mishnah said that nishba levatalas a mitzvah, shloilasas sukkah. And from here it seems, if there's a the achroinim to discuss, that from here it seems that building the sukkah is considered a mitzvah, as in fact the Rama in Or Chaim Siman Tov Reish Chof Dalet Sif Hey says Hamadadikin Metzchil Miyad Matzuyam Kippurim. The people who are careful with halacha begin immediately on Matzuyam Kippur. Basias a sukkah, we're building a sukkah. Kedai Letzis Me Mitzvah Le Mitzvah. And the Rama says in Siman Tov Reish Chof Hey, a mitzvah Lesakna Sukkah Miyad Lachi Yom Kippur, because mitzvah Bal Yotcha Al Tachmitzena. So it seems that it's considered a building of the sukkah is considered doing a mitzvah. On the other hand, the Avnei Nezer in Or Chaim Siman Na Tov Nun Tes is of the opinion that making a sukkah is not considered a mitzvah, because the halacha is that if you already have a sukkah, then the halacha is you don't have to build another sukkah. From our Gemara, it seems that building a sukkah is in itself a mitzvah. Not only from our Gemara does it seem that building a sukkah is a mitzvah, from here we learn that even if you'll say building a sukkah is a mitzvah, it's certainly not more than machshirei mitzvah. And from here we see that not only as we're learning so extensively in our Masechta, that if somebody makes a shvuah, levatal is a mitzvah, the shvuah is not a valid mitzvah. But from our Mishnah, it seems that even if somebody makes a shvuah, levatal machshirei mitzvah, if somebody makes a shvuah to something which is only used as a preparation for the mitzvah, it also would be considered in the category of shvuah as levatal as a mitzvah, which is an interesting discussion. There's a Rajbash that discusses a situation where somebody makes a shvuah that he's not going to marry a woman who could have children, and he never had children. Is that considered a valid shvuah? Because by marrying a woman who can't have children, he'll never be able to fulfill that mitzvah. But then it really connects to the question that we have been discussing here. And the question that we've been discussing here is building the sukkah considered a mitzvah? If building the sukkah is considered a mitzvah, then this would be considered nishba levatalas a mitzvah. If it's not considered a mitzvah, we would have a raya that somebody makes a shvuah levatal machshirei mitzvah is also valid mitzvah. The Sefer Chesukei Chemed speaks about a situation that there was a boy and a girl who got engaged, and she got engaged to a boy that, and she swore she'll marry him. And now they discovered that this boy is not religious, and she is religious. So on one hand, she made a shvua that she's going to do a mitzvah. Getting married, of course, is a mitzvah. On the other hand, there is a situation now that the shvua is not, it's levatel mitzvah. She doesn't want to live with a boy who's not religious. But here there's another complication, because if she was religious when she made this shvua, so we could say that certainly the she did not intend to marry a person who's not religious. But what happened in this question is that she wasn't religious when they got engaged and made this commitment to each other. Now she got religious. So now we can't say that she made the shvua on the understanding that he was religious, because she would have married him anyway because she wasn't religious at that time. So now the Chashukei Chemetz says it's not so simple to just ignore the shvua, and what he suggests has to be done under these circumstances is to be matted the nether, to go to Rav. It'll be easy for the Rav to be matted the nether, but we have to have a Hataras Nadarim. The Yerushalmi, as we said, differentiates when he makes a Shvua Levatlas a mitzvah, if he made it in a general fashion or he spoke about the Shvua particularly. If he speaks about the Shvua, about the mitzvah particularly, that he makes a shvua that he's going to violate a mitzvah, the halach is that the shvua is not a shvua. But if he didn't make the shvua about a particular mitzvah, he just made it in a general fashion, then the halach is that the shvua is chal. It's interesting that many Rishonim say that this Yerushalmi, since the halacha that the Yerushalmi says is not quoted anywhere in the Bavli, so it's very much an indication, says the Yerushalmi, that this is actually not, say these Yerushalmi, that we don't pass like that Yerushalmi, and makes no difference how the Shvua was stated. If the purpose of the Shvua is levatel a mitzvah, the Shvua can be ignored. The Zuhi, the continues the Mishnah, all these cases that we've just discussed are situations that are in the category of Shvua Shav, that the halacha is by shvua shav, chayovim al zadoin amakis, and one violates the shvua b'mezid is chay makis. Ashigrosai, if he did it b'shoigig, if he violated b'shvua b'shoigig, he's potter. However, continues the Mishnah, shvua shaychel kikuzu, if somebody first made a shvua that I will eat this loaf of bread, and then he said shvua shloich elana, and then he made a second shvua that I will not eat this loaf of bread. So the loch is a rishayna. The first shvua he made is a shvuas bitui, and it's a shvuas bitui that he's obligated to fulfill. Shnia is a shvuas shav, because when he made the second shvua, it was impossible to fulfill that shvua, because he already has a prior obligation. He has a prior obligation to eat this loaf, and therefore the shnia is a shvuas shav, and therefore ochla, if he does eat it, of al shvua shav, he violates the shvua shav, lo yachla, but if he doesn't eat it, he's ov al shvua spitu. So in other words, no matter what he does, the halach is that he ends up violating, he ends up violating a shvua. The question is, which shvua is the shvua that he violated? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah spoke about a case where somebody made a shvua about something which is patently false. Says the Gemara, what is the definition of something being patently false? Amar ulav hu shenikla shlosh mei adam. If what he said, three people know that it's not true, that's considered a shvua shav. The Yerushalmi, actually has a different version. The Shami's version is that if two people know what I said is not true, it's a shvua shav, and if three people know, it's considered a shvua sheka. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shvuos Perek Hey Halacha Chabez that if somebody makes a shvua that the sun is smaller than the earth, he doesn't get malchus. Because it's, even though that is incorrect, since it's not something that everybody knows, and if we look at it and not really understand what's going on, to us the sun seems smaller than the earth, that's why it's not considered shvua shav. Says, ask the Lecha Mishnah on the spot, that we just learned in the Gemara, that the Gemara says that anything that is not, that is known to three people, is already shvua shav. And there's certainly three people that know that the sun is bigger than the earth. So why would it not be considered a shvua shav? So the Yad David say that the shvua, in order to be considered a shvua shav, the Rambam's opinion is that if it's something that is, even though it's known to many people, but it's not an obvious thing that's known to those people, says the Yad David, once it's not something that's obviously known to people, it's already can't be considered a shvua shav. Continues the Mishnah, Nishba al Dov Shi'ef Shaloi, if he makes a shvua about something which is just impossible, for example, if he said that Mlairisi Gomel Perek Ba'aver, if I didn't see a camel flying in the air, says the Gemara, Shua Sharisa Lekama. The wording of the Mishnah doesn't say that I saw a camel. He says, Shua Imloi Reisi. Shua Shlom Reisi means that I didn't see. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Shua Shloi Reisi. What does that wording mean? Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, to me, we have to amend the wording of the Mishnah because if somebody says, if I didn't see it, then there's no shvua shav because Itaka didn't see a camel in the air. I'm a bai tani shvua sharisi. The wording should be that I saw a camel in the air. And of course, since that's patently possible, that's why a shvua shav. Rav Amar, Amru Kopher Shoyim Alai, the way to extend the Mishnah is that he made a shvua, he won't eat any fruit. Im larisi gom perek be'aven. And since he connected the shvua to something which is impossible to be, that's why it's considered a shvua shav. Amalei Revi'el Ravashi, says the Gemara, why are we so quick to assume that what he's saying is not true? But Dama Hai Gavret Sipor Rabbi Chazi. Maybe this person saw a very large bird, Vapaglei Shema Gamel, and he called this bird Gamel. And since he called this bird Gamel, what he's saying is true. According to his understanding and according to his warning, the shua is actually a very accurate shua. The chitema basa pumezlinen. So says the Gemara, maybe what we're learning here is a new halacha. And that the halacha we're learning here is that when a shua is made, the person cannot say, well, this is what I meant. But rather, when a shua is stated, the way the halacha tells us to look at it is that we have to say the words and we can't start interpreting the words. Says the Gemara, how could you say that that is the halacha of a Tanya? Have we not learned in a Braisa that when somebody has to make a shvua in Bezdin, the Dayanim say to him, it's not according to what you mean and intend to say. El al datein al das Bezdin. It's according to what we mean and what we're saying. My Tama, what is the reason the Bezin have to give this introduction? Loi Mishum Dabrinim Dilmas Gundriyavle, we have to concern that somebody is saying to somebody else, you owe me money, and the person says, I paid you, because he gave him some chips of wood that look like coins. Vasakle Zuze, and he calls those chips of wood money. The Kamishtate. And therefore, if the person under those circumstances would be swearing, he would not be necessarily swearing falsely. Because the Kamishtadiv, adopted the day Kamishtadiv, when he's swearing according to his wording. In order to avoid that, Bezdin make this introduction, it's according to the way we say, not according to the way you say. So therefore, ask the Gemara, why does the Mishnah say that if somebody said, I saw Gomel HaPerech Ba'aver, a camel flying in the sky, it's certainly a false shvua. Maybe he saw, as the Gemara suggested, a large bird, and he's calling it a Gomel HaPerech Ba'aver. Says the Gemara, it's not that the reason the shvua has to be made because he can maybe be using his own vocabulary, his own words. Hasam Mishum Kanya de Rava. There was a story in front of Rava that Rava, somebody claimed in front of the Bezdin of Rava that he owed somebody else, that somebody owed him money. So the Loiva went and he took a stick, Kanya, he took a stick, he filled up that stick with coins, and he came to Bezdin to make the Shvua. When he came to Bezdin to make the Shvua, what he did was he asked, the stick was full of coins, and he asked the Malva, please hold my stick while I make the Shvua. And the Malva said, okay, I'll hold your stick while you make the Shvua. And then he made a Shvua that he paid him, he made a Shvua that I gave you all the money. And technically, what he's saying was true, because he did give him the money by asking him to hold the hollow stick full of money. And what happened there was that the Malva got so upset when this Loiva made the Shvua, he threw the stick, and the stick broke, and all the money came out. And because Chazal were concerned for such a story happening again, that's why Bezdin makes this condition that everything should be on the up and up, and there should be no place for Harama. But anywhere else, that's where Bezdin makes the introduction. But anywhere else, Bezdin doesn't necessarily make this introduction, because we take people for their word. So the Gemara's question is, comes back to its original question, why are we so quick to say that the Shvua is not, that the person can't say, well, this is what I meant, when he make a Shvua? So there's an interesting question that the Paiskim discuss, and that is, in the case of the Kanya de Rava, is it considered a Shvua Sheker or not? Because technically he wasn't lying. If we look at the letter of the law, he wasn't lying. If we look at the spirit of the law, he was lying. There's a tshuva in the Shalos Tshuvos Chayavos Yor, Simen Samach Tes. Somebody was buying a house from somebody else, and the seller realized that this buyer was not really familiar with pricing. So what he did was, he asked him for an exorbitant price, and the case over there was, he asked him for 310 ruble, and he said that I swear that if somebody will offer anything, I will not take less than 300 ruble for the house. So the person was made a shvua with the intention of using the shvua to trick the buyer, but it wasn't a lie. That so say many paiskim. So the Chavos Yor says that we see in our Gemara that when somebody uses a shvua in a dishonest fashion, it's not considered a valid shvua. The case of Kanya de Rava. But of course, many paiskim disagree. In our Gemara, it was outright cheating, because he gave him the stick knowing that he won't realize what's in the stick. This person maybe is indeed using the shvua to charge an exorbitant price, but it's his right to charge the exorbitant price. And since it's within his right to charge the exorbitant price, it's not necessarily considered a shvua shav. The Mefarshim also ask that the Gemara calls this Kanya de Rava. The Gemara calls this cane, this hollow cane, the Kanya de Rava. And many Mefarshim ask, why would it be called Kanya de Rava? Rava had nothing to do with this. This is what the Loiva tried to trick the Malva. So I saw that the Mefarshim suggest that the reason it's called Kanya de Rava is this whole story has in it a great degree of Siyata Deshmaya. What do I mean when I say it has Siyata Deshmaya? That indeed the Loiva thought he's going to be able to get away with it, but then the Malva broke the stick. How did that happen in a Shemayim that the stick would get broken and what he was trying to do was discovered? Only because Rava was the Rosh Beis Din, and only because of the Siyata, the Shemaya, the Rava enjoyed, was this averted from happening. Tashma, so the Gemara again brings a raya that when Shvuah is made, we look at what was the intention of the person who made the Shvuah. Because the Braisa teaches us, came a tinnik Shvuah Moshe Yisrael, when Moshe Rabbeinu made Klai Yisrael swear, before Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, he made Klai Yisrael make a Shvuah that they're going to continue following the mitzvahs of the Torah. Amalehem, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, V'loi etchem levatcha, anochi karis abris azois v'sa'ola azois. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, says the Braisa, Du shloi al datchem, ani mashbi eschem, the Shvuah that I'm going to make you make now is not according to what you believe, Ela adas hamokum valdati. It's only according to what Hashem wants and what I want. V'amai, ask the Gemara, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say the speech? Shlemu, kaimu ma'idam alaka. Just do what Hashem said. And they should say, yes, says the Gemara. Lav, m'shun damaska datayu. They could use an excuse, avaris kechavim. They could say that alaka, do what God says. They say, we mean the Avodah Zarah. So we see that a person could interpret in his mind what he means, and it'll be a valid Shvuah. Loi, says the Gemara, that isn't a Raya, because we find that the Pasuk calls Avodah Zarah Elaha. So therefore, saying, doing what Elaha says can legitimately mean Avodah Zarah. But it isn't a raya that when you use words that are no connection, you say gomel pareich and you meant a bird, it's not. V'laimelhu. So continues the Gemara in asking. So good, we understand why Moshe Rabbeinu could not have told him kaima ma'ada omar laha. But ask the Gemara, why couldn't the Moshe Rabbeinu just said, v'laimelhu kaima Torah, fulfill what it says in the Torah. Says the Gemara, if he would have said that, they would have said chadu Torah. We know that the Torah has two parts. One part is Torah Shebiksav, and one part is Torah Shebipeh. If he would have said Kaima Torah, they would have said, we thought only Torah Shebiksav must we fulfill, not Torah Shebipeh. So it says, V'leimelahu, so he should have said Kaima Shtei Torahs. He should have been explicit and say, be Mekayim, both Torahs. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Torahs Chatos, Torahs Asham. They would have said that that's what we thought the Shvuah meant, not all of the Torah. So says the Gemara, so he should have been said to them, Kaimu Kala Torah Kula, and then there's no room for that misunderstanding. Says the Gemara, they would have said, when you told us Kaimu Kala Torah, what we meant to accept it upon ourselves was the Avodah Zarah. Because as the Gemara says, Damamar, Chazal teaches, Chamur Avodah Kechavim, Avodah Zarah is considered so significant, if somebody denies the strength of an Avodah Zarah, it's Kamayda B'chala Torah Kula. So they could have said that we only have to accept upon ourselves not to worship Avodah Zarah, but it doesn't require that we have to keep the rest of the Torah. So I saw that what is takip shat, that kolam kaifa avodah zarah is kamaydim chala Torah kula. So the Sefer Divrei Yecheskel Shraga explains that just like we say that Beis Shammai teaches us that anything we buy during the week, we should have in mind that we want to use it for Shabbos, and then if we find something nicer, then take that and use it for the weekday and take and buy something nicer for Shabbos. So we see the ability of Shabbos to permeate the entire week. The same thing, if somebody stays away from Avodah Zarah, the Kedusha of somebody behaving that way has the ability to permeate that everything that he does becomes holy. V'leimahu, the Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, meant that they should keep the whole Torah. So using this warning would not have gotten the point across. So ask the Gemara, V'leimelahu, he should have said, Kaimu mitzvah. Says the Gemara, chada mitzvah. They would have said, well, if you use the word mitzvah, it only obligates us to do one mitzvah. So ask the Gemara, he should have said to them, kaimu mitzvahs, which is more than one. So they would have said, yes, it means tati, that we have an obligation to keep two mitzvahs, but it wouldn't indicate that one has to keep all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Says the Gemara, so Moshe Rabbeinu should have said to them, kaimu kol mitzvahs kulan, fulfill all the mitzvahs. So it's not limited to one or two mitzvahs. And says the Gemara, they would have said that it's referring to tzitzis. Davamar, as we learned, shkula mitzvah tzitzis, kenegadim kol mitzvahs kulan. Tzitzis is such an important mitzvah, it's equivalent to all the other mitzvahs of the world. So all the other mitzvahs. Why is that the case? They saw from the Sefer Venis Sfila that we know Chazal teaches us that the tzitzis have in it the tchelis, and the tchelis is doim liyam, it looks like the sea. The yam doim liyuki, and the sea looks like the sky. For kia looks like the kisei hakavod. What that means is that a person looks at the tzitzis, and when the person looks at the tzitzis, it just doesn't mean that he's looking at the tzitzis. It brings him to a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And once it brings him to recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, a person who recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world is the person that's going to do what he's supposed to do. And that's what the Gemara means to say, Shkula mitzvahs, connect mitzvahs kulon. If somebody properly observes the mitzvah tzitzis, we can be confident they'll do all the rest of the mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, but again, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be very specific and mean all the mitzvahs. So says the Gemara, what Moshe Rabbeinu should have said to them was, V'leimelu, Moshe Rabbeinu should have said to them, Kemu, Shesh Esrim, Shlosh Esrim mitzvahs, fulfill all Taryag mitzvahs. V'letameich, says the Gemara, according to you, Leimelu, Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, Al Da'ati, that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to prevent, that they shouldn't misinterpret the Shvuah. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say, Al-Dati? Al-Dati v'Al-Das HaMokim. It would have been enough for him to say, Al-Dati. Al-Das HaMokim, Lamali. Why do you have to add those words as well? Says the Mar El-Kehech, Dolei v'Chafar l'Shvuah say. There's a concept that we've discussed in previous Shurim, in Masech Demakastav Tav Zayin. Neder Shehuda b'Rabim, Yesh Lo Yafara. Al-Das Rabim, Ein Lo Yafara. And since Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make this a neder that can never be annulled, he said, Al Dati Vadas Hamokam. So the Rishonim ask that to be considered a neder Al Das Rabbin, it has to be three. And here we only have Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rishonim answered that here, he included HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When do you need three when we're talking about people? Not when we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if that's the case, they asked, so all he should have said was Adas HaMokam, and then it would become a shvuah that can't be annulled. So they explained that that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu meant. He said, Al Dati v'Adas HaMokam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need Moshe Rabbeinu's participation. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, by saying Al Dati, he was saying, I'm the Shliach, of Al Das HaMokam, that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The Moirisi Nachsh Kikaris Besabad. Another example that the Mishnah spoke about was saying that I saw a snake as big as a bean. Says the Gemara, Veloy, is it not possible to see such a large snake? Ask the Rahu to have a Shnei Shvar Malka. There was a snake that existed at the time of Shvar. Have a Chad Azik. Ask the place of Arvasativna. There was the snake that swallowed 13 barnfuls of straw. So we see that they're very big. Amishmul, the Tan is talking about the Betaruf, that it had so many holes, so many grooves in it. Says the Gemara, Kulanami Mitratrifin. It seems that all snakes have these grooves. So why is this considered an impossible shvuah? Answers the Gemara, but shegabei taruf. The snakes have grooves on the front, and it doesn't have it by only by the neck. And this, he said, had grooves elsewhere. The Mishnah taught us another case where somebody said Shvuah Shloichel Kukazu, and then it said Shvuah Shloichlana. Says the Gemara, if somebody didn't eat, he's made a shvuah, he's going to eat the loaf. If he violates it, he's chayfim shvuah spitim mechayif, shvuah shavloi mechayif. So ask the Gemara that the Mishnah seems to say that if he violated what he said, it's a violation of the shvuah spitui. But ask the Gemara, why would it also not be considered a shvuah shav? Shvuah shavloi mechayif. He said something which wasn't fulfilled. Amar Bimra, Tani, indeed, we have to learn the Mishnah that he's chayiv for two. He's chayiv for Shvuah Shav and for Shvuah Spitui. Says the Mishnah, Shvuah Spitui, we've been speaking about Shvuah Spitui quite extensively in this parak. Teaches us the final Mishnah of the parak, Shvuah Spitui, Nehagas Menashim Uben Noshim, applies to men. It applies to men and to women. B'krayvim u'b'rchaykim, the person who made the shvua, it makes no difference if the person who I made the shvua about applying to someone else is my relative or not. B'fnei bezdim shlei bezdim, it makes no difference where the shvua was stated. B'pi atzmai, it has to be that I, the person made the shvua, v'chayavan azadayin amakas, and one deliberately violated the shvua, he's chayiv makis, but shigasai, and if he did it b'shagig, he's chayiv a carbon oil of a yarid. Shvuah shav, that we've been discussing, says the Mishnah Nahagas Banosh applies to men and women, rechaykim for krivim, it doesn't make a difference if the subject is a relative or not, v'ksherim, the v'psulim, it makes no difference if the person who made the shvuah is somebody who's qualified to say this or not, bifnei bezdin, shalai bifnei bezdin, it doesn't make a difference if the shvuah was said in front of Bezdin or not, umi pi atzmai, it's only if the person made the shvuah, the chayovin here too, as a doin makas, so one violates the shvuah, but mezi is chayim makas, but she goes a potter, but if shagi, he won't even bring a carbon. Achazu v'achazu, whether we speak about shvuah spitui or shvuah shav, hamushba b'beya cherim, somebody did not say the shvuah himself, but somebody else made the shvuah and he agreed, chayiv. It's considered as if he made the shvuah himself. And the Mishnah explains itself. If somebody says, lo echalti hayoyim, if somebody says, I didn't eat today, lo enachti tefillin hayoyim, I didn't put on tefillin today, and somebody else says, mashbiach anei, are you ready to swear to that effect? And he says, amen, his statement of amen is considered as if he made the shvuah himself. The Mishnah here speaks about a case of somebody said, lo yinachti tefillin hayoyim. I didn't put on tefillin. So the Chashuki Chemed discusses a very interesting question. He says, there's somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Yom Tov Sheni. So when we come to Chutz La'aretz Simchas Torah, when we in Chutz La'aretz have Akron Shel Pesach, the eighth day of Pesach, in Eretz Yisrael, it's a weekday. For us, it's Yontif, where we don't put on tefillin. And the question is, can this person, there's a person who doesn't have tefillin, and now he has a real dilemma. What should he do? Should he maybe accept upon himself that he will now move to Chutz La'aretz? So now accepting upon himself that he's moving to Chutz La'aretz will exempt him from tefillin, and he'll solve the problem that he doesn't put on tefillin on a day that he put on tefillin. So, the Chashuki Chemed has an interesting discussion, and what he says is that perhaps there's no obligation to do so. Not only is there no obligation to do so, it won't help. If somebody obviously is in Eretz Yisrael, so yes, somebody in Eretz Yisrael could decide to move to Chutz La'aretz, but it doesn't seem that he will be chayiv in keeping Yontif Sheni until he actually arrives in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz. So taking this and saying, I'm going to move Chutz La'aretz, wouldn't be of any help. But then he discusses a different situation. He says, there's somebody from Chutz La'aretz who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who's in Eretz Yisrael for Yontif, and his wife goes into labor, So now, if he's serving for Metz Yisrael on Yontif Sheni, for them it's not Yontif. And doing anything to take his wife in Chil Shabbos, Chil Yontif is not an issue, because it's not Yontif. For him, it's Yontif. So maybe he should accept to live in Metz Yisrael. And once he lives in Metz Yisrael, today is not Yontif, and he has no problem when he drives to the hospital or does anything else. So the question really is a very fundamental question. When the halacha says that we're allowed to be mechal Shabbos Yontif for a chayla, is that chutra or dechuya? Is it something that it could be done lechatchila? That's chutra or dechuya? It's only allowed to be done b'dievid, reluctantly. But he does make a very good point. He says that if somebody is an Etz Yisrael and he has a baby boy, and the bris is on what is for people in Chutz Loretz, Yontif Sheni, Akron Shel Pesach, or second day of Yontif, or Simchas Torah, and there's a moel. And the moel that he could take is somebody who lives in Chutz Loretz. So for him doing a bris on Yontif, or if it's the Bizmanoi, he's allowed to do it, but it does involve Chil Yontif, but the Aloch allows him to do it. The question is, should he take such a moel? Or should he take a moel who lives in Etz Yisrael? And by using a moel who lives in Etz Yisrael, what he accomplishes is that he takes a moel who has no questions about Chil Yontif, and he suggests that it would be preferable to take such a moel versus a moel who lives in Chutz Laretz and has to perhaps do Chil Yontif in these circumstances. Amar Shmuel. So says Shmuel, Kol Ayin Amen Achas Shvua. Anybody who says Amen after Shvua is said, it's as if he said the Shvua itself. Where do we find the power of the Amen? The place that we find the power of the Amen is because the pasuk by Asaita, the Torah tells us that the Kohen makes a swear, and the Isha says Amen, Amen. The pasuk can make a very important point. Even though we're learning the power of Amen when you say a Shvua, but the Amen is not Shemei Kaina. Because there's a very big question in the Paiskim, what does Shemei Kaina accomplish? Does Shemei Kaina accomplish that it's like I who hear it, I'm saying it? Or does Shemei Kaina accomplish that hearing is enough? So even if we'll say, explain the Paiskim, that all Shemei Kohen accomplishes is that hearing is like saying, but it's not actual saying. They say saying Amen is, according to all opinions, like actually saying. And since saying Amen is like actually saying, that's good enough. There's also proof that saying Amen is like saying the Shvua from the Mishnah Brais, the Tani, the Mishnah we're going to learn in the next staff. Says Shvuas Aedus Neagas Banosh Vilev Noshim. Shvuas Aedus, when somebody says Shvuah that you know testimony for me, makes me swear that I know testimony, and then I swear falsely that I don't. There the Mishnah says it only applies by men, not by women. Berchayk Vilev Bekraven, people who are not relatives, but not relatives, because they're all apostles for Aedim. Bekshem Vilev Bepsulim, we'll discuss this more. Somebody who's not qualified to say Aedus. Ve'enin Ahagas El Beruin Lahoyd. Befnei Bezdin Vishleim Befnei Bezdin. It applies both in Bezdin and not in Bezdin. There's a difference if a person made the Shvua on his own or other people made him make the Shvua. If the Shvua was made through other people making me make the Shvua, then it's not considered Shvua's Eidish until that took place in Bezdin, Divra Meir. V'tanya b'braisa. The Braisa also speaking about Shvus Eidus. Shvus Eidus Ketzin. The Braisa says, what does Shvus Eidus mean? Amala Eidim Bovaduni. Somebody says to Eidim, come say as testimony on my behalf. And the Eidim respond, Shvua, she'en anu yudim l'cha Eidus. We swear that we don't know Eidus. Ashamra ein anu yudim l'cha Eidus. Where they say, we don't know Eidus. And then they say to Meshbi ani aleichem. And he says, I make you swear. V'amra amen. And they say, amen. So the halacha is whether this place took place beim efnei bezdin beim shloim efnei bezdin beim epi atzmai when he said the shvua himself beim epi acherim or the shvua was made by somebody else kiven shakafra behem as soon as they lied, chayovim, they have to bring the carbon divrei Meir. So here we see the coin to a Meir, that according to a Meir, mushmer pi acherim and mushmer pi atzmai is the same. So ask the Gemara, Kashna Dodi. The Mishnah says, Rameyer, that there's a difference between Mujmer Pe'atzmai, that you'll be chayv even outside Bezdin. Mujmer Pe'acherim, you'll only be chayv in Bezdin. And here it says that even Mujmer Pe'acherim, you'll be chayv not in Bezdin. Elav Shmamina. How do we answer? Ha da Amen Amen. In a case where you said Amen, and Ha da Loy An Amen. In a case where you didn't say Amen. In a case where you said Amen, it's considered like you made the Shvu yourself, Shmamina. Amar Vinam Shmei, the Rav Masnitsin, the Hakan Nami Deka. If we learn our Mishnah well, we will also come to the same conclusion. The Katani. We learned our Mishnah. Shvu is beating eggs by Nosh Manoshim, Bruchaikim Berkoivim, Bekshem Rebepsulim, Befnei Bezim Shle Befnei Bezdin, Bepi Atzmoi. Only if he made the Shvu by himself. In Mipiachirim Loi. Viktani, say, but then when we continue learning the Mishnah, Zevze, Mibushbi Mipiachirim, you are Chayiv. So how do we reconcile the Reisha and the Sefer? Kashin Hadadi, Elash Mamina, in a case where you said Amen. So even though somebody else said the rest of the words, it's considered like you made the Shvu by yourself. Hadloy Amen, Amen. When you don't say Amen, it's not considered as if you made the shvu by yourself. So ask the Gemara, El Shmuel my Kamashmon, and the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question, this is a Mishnah, and there is an expectation that every Amora knew the Mishnah. And that's why the question is asked now. The previous question was between a Mishnah and a Braisa. So there it's legitimate to say that maybe Shmuel wasn't aware of that Braisa. But here we're talking about an explicit Mishnah, and an explicit Mishnah, there's an expectation that Shmuel Damira knew. So so what's Shmuel telling us? What the Mishnah tells us? My Kamashmalon. And says, Gemara, do you could the Mishnah is the Kamashmalon. Shmuel is teaching us how to learn the Mishnah. And that the Mishnah is teaching us that when you say Amen, it's considered like you said the Shvu by yourself. And otherwise, it's not considered like you said the Shvu by yourself. Hanulach Shvu Shtayim, Hanulach Shvu Shtayim, Hanulach Shvu Shtayim.